Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Amen. Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, there was a famous movie that came out in 1957 called The Miracle Worker. It's a movie based on real life events, and even though you may not have seen the movie, you probably know it. The movie portrays a woman named Anne Sullivan who is trying her best to educate a young girl by the name of Helen Keller. Helen Keller was a young girl who could not hear and she couldn't see. Therefore, you would think there is no way that you could teach anything to Helen Keller. There is no way that she could learn how to speak and to communicate with people. But that didn't stop Anne Sullivan from trying. She had Helen Keller touch her hands as she would do sign language. And in the most famous scene of this movie, she poured water on Helen Keller's hands, and she spoke her first word, which was water. Later on in her life, she learned how to read, to write, and she even graduated from college. This never would have happened if it wasn't for Anne Sullivan educating her. And we would all agree that what Anne Sullivan did was good, and how she did it was well. But now we transition from the movie The Miracle Worker to the miracle worker, who is Jesus Christ. And although the situation is not exactly the same, we see Jesus dealing with a man who could not hear and he could not speak. And although our situations in life are not exactly the same, what we see Jesus do for this man, he also does for us. For God does everything well. He does it perfectly, and he does it personally. Now this morning, Mark tells us that Jesus traveled all the way from Tyre down to the region of the Decapolis. The Decapolis was east of the Jordan River and just south of the Sea of Galilee. Now, there are two things that we need to know about this area. First of all, this area was predominantly full of Gentiles. This is not a Jewish area. So what does that tell you about Jesus? Not only is he concerned about the Jews and their faith, he is also concerned about the Gentiles and to bring them to faith. And that brings us to the second point we need to understand. This isn't the first time Jesus was in this area. The first time he came, he healed a man who was possessed by multiple demons. When Jesus drove those demons out of this man, they possessed a herd of pigs, and the pigs ran off a cliff and died. When the people of this area saw this, they told Jesus to leave. And as Jesus was leaving, the man who was healed wanted to follow Jesus. You would think Jesus would encourage him to follow him. But Jesus told this man to stay and to tell the people what he had done. That's exactly what this man did. And look at what happened because of it. When Jesus came back to this region, the people were not telling Jesus to leave. Instead, they were bringing their sick to Jesus. One man that they brought to Jesus was a man who could not hear and could not speak. Imagine how difficult your life would be if you couldn't hear and you couldn't speak. You wouldn't be able to have a conversation with anyone because you can't hear anything that they're saying to you. You can't even hear people say how much they care for you. And since you can't speak, you can't tell others how much you care for them. You can't talk to them about what you are feeling and what you are going through. Life would be extremely difficult for you. And that's what this man was experiencing. But God does everything well, and he does it perfectly. Look at how perfectly Jesus healed this man. Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. It still would have been a great miracle if Jesus allowed this man to speak and he began to learn how to speak to others. But that's not what Jesus did. Instead, this man could hear, and he was able to speak plainly to the people, as if he had been speaking his whole life. Jesus healed him perfectly. When the people saw this, they were filled with wonder and awe, and they cried out, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." God does do everything well, and he does it perfectly. But now let me ask you this question. Are you ever jealous of this man? Sure, you are not jealous of not being able to hear or to speak, but do you look at what Jesus did for this man and wonder why God doesn't do the same thing for you? In your eyes, does it always look like God does everything well? Does it look like he does it perfectly? Does it look like God does everything well when you have troubles in your marriage or troubles in your family life? Does it seem like God does everything well when he has given you a health problem? And because of that health problem, your life has become more of a burden than a blessing. Does it look like God does everything well when he allowed a loved one to die and you didn't even get the chance to say goodbye? Because of this, we can second-guess our God and wonder if everything that he does is well. But before we ever accuse God of any wrongdoing, what have we done to make God do anything for us well? Look at the two gifts that this man didn't have that we have. We have the gift of hearing. We have the gift of speech. But how do we use those gifts? We can listen to music that is filthy and not God-pleasing. Our ears can tingle with joy by hearing the latest gossip about someone. And when it comes to our gift of speech, one second we can offer up words of praise to God, and then the very next second we offer up words of cursing, lying, deceiving, and misusing God's name. And this should not be, but it's what we do. We haven't even used these two gifts well, let alone everything else that we do that is not well. Because of this, God shouldn't do anything well for us. He should just let us suffer and go to hell. But God does everything well, and he does it perfectly. Understand that it was never God's plan for you to have sufferings and hardships in your life. It was never God's plan to have you sin against him. For when God created this world, it was perfect. He did it well. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They brought troubles and hardships and sin into this world. It would have been well for God to destroy what he created and to send Adam and Eve to hell. But God does everything well, and he sent Christ to do it perfectly for us. Everything that Christ did was well and perfect. And since he lived that perfect life and died for us, the whole world has been justified. Everyone, including you and me, has been declared not guilty. Through faith in our Savior, God looks at us as being perfect. God does everything well. He does it perfectly. But what about those struggles and hardships that we have in life? How does God do everything well with them? Well, not only does God do everything well perfectly, he also does everything well personally. Look at how personally Jesus dealt with this man. When the people brought this man to Jesus, he could have healed him right then and there. But look at what Jesus did. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into this man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be open. Jesus easily could have said to this man, "Be healed," and he would have been healed. But instead, he took him aside personally to deal with him one-on-one. He put his fingers into this man's ears to show him that he would heal his deafness. And then he spit and touched the man's tongue to show him that he would heal his muteness. He looked up to heaven to show him that God was the one who would be healing him. And then, with a deep sigh, he said, "Ephphatha." And immediately this man could hear and he could speak. This is how personally Jesus dealt with this man when he healed him. And Jesus has done the same thing for us. For he has healed us. He has healed us and saved us from the disease of sin. And look at how personally Jesus did that. Jesus did not say, "Be forgiven," and it was done. Instead, those same hands that touched this man were the same hands that were stretched and nailed to a cross. Just as Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Ephphatha." On Good Friday, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And just as Jesus gave a deep sigh before he healed the man, with his final breath, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. That is how personally Jesus has saved us. He took every single sin that we have done and placed it on himself so that we can be forgiven. When it comes to our salvation, Jesus has done everything well, and he has done it personally. And so when it comes to the struggles and hardships that we have in life, he also deals with us personally. Jesus has promised to you and me, "Surely I am with you always. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." God is with us every step of our lives. He is personally right here with us. So when we communicate to God through prayer, do not think that God is way up there in heaven and having a hard time listening to all of us. No. When we pray to God, he is right there next to us. And as we pray to him, God does not become deaf to our prayers, but instead, he personally listens to you because he cares for you. And after we finish praying to God, he does not become mute to our prayers. Instead, he responds to us. He responds through his word. This is what God has to say. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So when we have these struggles in our life and wondering why God doesn't take them away right away, look at how personally he deals with us. He says, I have a plan personally for you. Not to harm you, but to make you prosper. So if it is the Lord's will and his plan, he will take away that suffering immediately. But if it is still his will and plan for you to carry that struggle, it's because so that you will rely on him, you will pray to him and trust what he tells you. And God has promised that everything that happens in our lives, he will turn into our good. And since God makes everything happen in our lives for our good, we can clearly see that God does everything well. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you ever see yourself as the person described in our Old Testament lesson, that you have a fearful heart, listen again to what Isaiah tells us. Be strong, do not fear. Your God will come, he will come to save you. And that's exactly what God has done. He did it perfectly by sending Christ to come and save us. And since Christ has saved us, he is personally here with us. He has promised to always listen to us, to always answer our prayers, and to always bless us. Therefore, be strong and do not fear, for your God has come and he has come to save you. Therefore, let all praise and glory be to him, for God does everything well. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.